I'm a bit tired of hearing people saying, I don't know how to do my job properly. And I think that's really mean. I remember being criticised. Just remind everybody how criticised I was. That's not acceptable. I hope everybody likes staying at home because we are going to go into lockdown forever. Nobody from New South Wales is going anywhere. We will have 2 million police officers standing at the corner of every street to monitor every single citizen. We're really watching very closely. I hope this really will be devastating. We don't like to be heavy-handed, but what we need to say today now is that if you leave home, we will give you a death sentence. Please know that you will be shot in the face, and I hope it's painful. You are required to obey what we say when we say it, and if you don't, you can prepare to die. I've said from the outset, I don't care about your life and the life of those around you. I don't really give a shit. The government is now about to announce what we call the final solution. We are inspired by history and realise we can very easily, permanently get rid of anybody thinking illegal thoughts. We aim to have absolutely zero freedom. Follow the rules or else you'll never be seen again. If you think you can live freely under our very strict and harsh regime, I have news for you. If you even consider breaking the rules, I will personally stab you in the head and rip your guts out. We have 24 hours surveillance of every single person in the community. We want to cause anguish, hurt and suffering to as many citizens as possible. Every day at 11 o'clock, every citizen in this state must listen to me. This is the Fourth Reich, and I will make sure that I never, ever, ever give up power till the day I die.
This is Pure Decking, show number 450 for Thursday, September the 23rd, 1875. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and the fact that I forgot to write a new joke for the opening tonight. Madman, what's up?
I believe with as many hours of audio we have on the internet, that it's going to be easy to write a bot that will have us say anything it wants.
It's all of
with
varying
pretty much any inflection.
But it'll be all of varying quality, so you'll be able to tell when they had to go back to the early Second Life shit to get a word, because suddenly it goes down to like 15 kilohertz instead of the normal, you know, 44 that we broadcast in these days. It's like, oh yes, this was the era of the Logitech headset, and oh. I am Paul.
Where did they find a boob for a rant? What?
There's going back in the day. I am polishing off a bottle of Woodford's. Are you? What's up?
Not much, man. Just living in, living through this, whatever this is right now.
I think this
fucking
is the
crazy,
the
man.
Reinstatement of Australia as a penal colony at this point.
Fucking feels like it, man. Like. I have nothing anymore, man. I don't know what to say about it. Like, this week's just gone out of control.
So, I mean, yeah, you've shown us those videos of anyone wearing an orange shirt getting tackled and arrested. And it's like, what did he do? He was wearing an orange shirt. The fuck?
Yeah.
So, we're not a politics show. We're not a politics show, but oh my God.
We were promised that we, you know, international travel will be back on the market by Christmas. But I watched the press conference this morning, and our premier in chief, Herr Gladys, is like, why would you want to go overseas? There's nothing to do overseas. I don't even know why you bother. You know, just absolute, you know, fucking insanity.
Well,
I did another naughty last week, though.
There's the other guy in your government who was talking about booster passports. Like, not even vaccine passports.
Daniel Andrews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Booster passports. It's like, oh, you know, they're still arguing whether a booster is even something you need, and your government's like, yeah, fuck it, we're shooting everybody up.
I, That's me, man. I have nothing.
They're gonna have guys with those, you know, cartoon trank guns full of booster shots just going around shooting anybody they see.
Well, did you see the old mate from yesterday?
No.
From what was it, the Veritas? Project Veritas?
No, I didn't see that.
You'll have to watch it after this show. It's absolutely amazing because it's this very lispy faggot going, yes, we're just going to trank dart everyone with it, you know, or trick them into getting vitamin C shots.
Oh, God, I thought I was making it up.
No.
He was calling for blow darts.
Blow darts, that's it. And he'd bring over a whole tribe of Amazonians to do it. And he's not really worried if it gets a little too Germany, as he put it. So I don't know what that even meant. Figure for what it is.
I believe the term would be totalitarian.
But on the bright side, Caribbean cruises have gotten dirt fucking cheap.
Yeah, that's, you know, I know a few people who have booked cruises and they're just hoping that they get to go.
So. Yeah, and they're throwing in free alcohol packages.
Now, that's interesting because that's usually one of their big draws. But
yeah. I'm going to be wasted for days in a country where I might not speak the language.
That's... Oh, no, Madman, that's the point of a cruise. You get wasted and you hang out with a bunch of other tourists on a boat. With
having
lots of
sex with random people.
Not as much as you would think. Last cruise I was on, it's all a bunch of families, so it's like you didn't see a lot of, you know, unattached people who were willing to swing.
Depends on the one you book.
I was going to say that the associate of mine who tells me about his cruises with him and his wife, they must be taking very different cruises to what you're talking about.
Well, I was on a Carnival. The last one I went on was on a Carnival cruise, and that was like 5 years ago. Fuck.
Yeah, I don't
know. So.
You wouldn't get me on one of those plague ships, man. What it is, just a giant floating plague ship.
Well, it is now. At the time, it was a floating hotel with an unlimited drinks and a buffet. And a casino.
And the one I'm looking at is stopping in 3 different very nice Caribbean islands and Mexico.
And Mexico.
Hey, I'm like, you know, go ashore long enough to get mugged in a Mayan pyramid.
I hear Port-au-Prince is beautiful this time of year, Madman. You might want to trip off down to there.
We'll talk after the show about what cruise you're taking and see if it looks like it's worth doing. Maybe. I mean, yeah, you're right. You can book them super cheap right now.
Yeah.
And if you book them at a little bit, the airfare is not too bad either.
Yeah. So,
because usually fucking you have to go down.
Thing I'm going to get the flight is jumping off my roof this afternoon.
Are you at least aiming for the bushes or a convenient trash can? Or
I was thinking about going for no look, blind, yeah. Fall backwards, Jesus, grab me.
I was thinking of heading down under eventually, but I keep seeing videos. I don't know if they'll let me check my AR on the way in.
No. You just show up and say hi. I'm a tourist, and you'll be treated like a god because that's what half their damn economy was based off of.
Was like, dude. We don't have a tourist economy anymore.
Like, I'm a tourist. I'm here for the revolution.
Different kind of tourist.
It was meant to be the other way around. Remember, I was meant to come there for the second.
I brought my own orange shirt. Where are we all meeting up?
Hey, guys, I'm here for the revolution. I brought the fruit basket.
That would be a bet and a half. Hey, Madman, I dare you to wear this orange shirt outside for 30 minutes. The equivalent to what...
hey, can you wear this ghost costume and run through Harlem?
equivalent to the diehard sandwich board thing.
There'll be scenes they will never recreate.
Oh, God. All right, let's... Huh?
What's the first story of the evening?
First story is from The Verge. EU proposes mandatory USB-C on all devices, including iPhones. So what they're trying to say is, if you're going to make a device that has a wire on it, it goddamn better have a USB-C port. Which, this is proposed, this hasn't passed, but I thought it might be interesting to talk about. The European Commission, the executive arm of the European Union, has announced plans to force smartphone and other electronics manufacturers to fit a common USB-C charging port on their devices. The proposal is likely to have the biggest impact on Apple, which continues to use its proprietary Lightning connector rather than a little bit of woo-flu there, don't mind me. Is proprietary Lightning connector rather than the USB-C connector adopted by most of its competitors. The rules are intended to cut down on electronic waste by allowing people to reuse existing chargers and cables when buying new electronics. In addition to phones, the rules will apply to other devices like tablets, headphones, portable speakers, video game consoles, and cameras. Manufacturers will also be forced to make their fast charging standards interoperable and provide information to customers about what charging standards their device supports. Under the proposal, customers will be able to buy new devices without an included charger. Chargers aren't that expensive and they're not that big, so there's not that much... It's not like it's a lot of waste come from these things, I promise you. In fact, there's probably more waste of people buying cheap chargers because they forgot they're somewhere. They use it, realize it doesn't do fast charging, and it gets hot, so they use it like twice and throw it away. Actually, I had a cheapy USB cigarette lighter, the 12-volt for your car adapter. And
oh, yeah.
My sister was visiting, and her phone was about dead. This is, you know, and so she plugs into that while we were going out to, I think we were going out to dinner, and it wouldn't charge her phone. And she's got the same phone I do, so I'm like, huh, because I actually hadn't tried to use this thing for years. The last time I actually used it, I think, was on a Galaxy 7. 7, 6? No, well, it was some mid-range Galaxy, Samsung Galaxy phone, and it worked then. But yeah, so I tried to plug my phone into it. Damn thing wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't charge it. It didn't have enough amperage out. I had to go buy a decent charger for my car because the one I had didn't work. We tried the car ports too, and those didn't work either. It's like, damn, okay. But I'd argue it's more waste from people buying a cheap $3 one at a gas station because they needed it for a minute than anything to do with the device coming with a charger. But I mean, yeah, the idea of a common ports is kind of nice, but what happens when they come up with a better one?
Well, I'm thinking the common port has got to be targeting Apple because every device listed in here, I think they already come with the USB-C.
Most new ones do. Not everything. A lot of the cheaper Chinese crap will still come with a USB micro or USB mini even on it. But a lot of my 3D printers, the main boards for those don't use USB-C. They're either micro or mini. I would actually rather those guys be the old school USB-B, the big fat one, you know? Like you used to use on printers, because that's not a small mobile device. That's a stationary device. That's something that should have the full fat, you know, high durability port on it. But yeah, the proposal only covers using wired, not wireless devices. EU Commissioner Thierry Breton said in a press conference, adding that there is plenty of room for innovation on wireless. So according to the EU, USB-C is the pinnacle of connectors, period, full stop. Nothing else can touch it. A spokesperson of the commission subsequently confirmed to The Verge that USB-C port is only mandatory for devices that charge using a cable. But if a device charged exclusively via wireless, like Apple's rumored portless iPhone, then there will be no requirement for a USB-C charging port. Well, I guess that makes sense if they're not going to have a port on the thing at all. To become law, the revised radio equipment directive proposal will need to pass a vote in European Parliament. If adopted, manufacturers will eventually have 24 months to comply with the new rules. The Parliament has already voted in favor of new rules on a common charger in early 2020, indicating that today's proposal should have broad support. Quote, chargers power all of our most essential electronic devices. With more and more devices, more and more chargers are sold that are not interchangeable or not necessary. We are putting an end to that, said Commissioner Thierry Breton. Quote, with our proposal, European consumers will be able to use a single charger for all their portable electronics, an important step to increase convenience and reduced waste, unquote. Quote, European consumers were frustrated long enough about incompatible chargers piling up in their drawers. We gave industry plenty of time to come up with their own solutions. Now, time is ripe for legislative action for a common charger. European Commissioner, Executive Vice President Margrethe Vestager said. So, yeah. Today's proposal is focused on the charging port on the device end, but the commission says it eventually hopes to ensure full interoperability on both ends of the cable. The power supply end will be addressed in a review. The power supply end will be addressed in a review to be launched later this year. The proposal followed a vote in the European Parliament in January 2020 when lawmakers voted for new rules on common chargers. As of 2016, the amount of electronic waste produced among the bloc amounted to 12.3 million metric tons. I guarantee you it's not 12.3 million metric tons of chargers and cable and USB cables. I promise you it's not. Most of it's got to be TVs.
I'll start giving a fuck about their waste management issues when they mandate towards maybe stock building obsolescence into the product, you know, a failure point after a certain amount of time.
Well, considering they sell most laptops as disposable items these days.
That's what I mean. It's fuck the climate movement. That's all I can say.
Well, and I'm not
really interested.
I don't really care about the environmental aspect of it. I mean, I'm all for efficiency, and I like the idea of being able to repair your shit. And it's not because it's good for the environment, just because it makes sense. It's wasteful. I mean, you don't need to be. I've got no problem with efficiency. I've got no problem with, you know, reducing waste. I just don't like the when you're doing it for religious reasons and demanding everybody else must do it for religious reasons. It's like, no, it just makes sense that if you can repair something and keep using it, you probably should. But they artificially make repair costs high on these devices. You look into getting an Apple device's screen if you've cracked it replaced the official means. I know there's a place in the mall that'll do it and all this other stuff, but if you got cracked glass on your phone, look into getting it repaired sometime through the official means. It costs as much as a new phone, and that's on purpose. And there's no way the piece of glass costs that. But yeah, if you go to Apple or Samsung's not as bad as Apple. But yeah, if you get an iPhone and you take it into Apple to get this cracked screen replaced, what they're actually going to do is give you a new phone, tell you to restore your backup from iCloud. If you say, I didn't have an iCloud backup, they'll shrug and say, have a nice day. They won't help you. They'll just say, well, set up a new one then. And they'll just give you a new phone and then send theirs off to be, you know, reworked by the lowest bidder.
Sold in India.
Yep. By the lowest bidder, yeah. So, it's,
you know. The one they hand you is possibly a reworked one.
Most likely, yeah. If they're just handing it out as a replacement for a warranty. Laptops, same thing, man. They're all soldered together. Even the RAM, the batteries in them these days. Go on iFixit and look at what it takes to replace the battery in a modern MacBook, a modern HP, or a modern Dell machine. It used to be, like, I've got a bunch of old ThinkPads. You can buy a battery for $20 on Amazon. You just unclip the dead one, you know, and then you can take it to one of the battery recycle boxes, which with lithium, okay, I know you're not supposed to, you know, now they make a big deal about throwing any batteries away. AA's, I don't really care so much about. But if you got a lithium ion battery, you should take those to the recycle places. Not so much for the whole environmental aspect of it, but because those things actually can be dangerous if they're just mixed in with regular trash, if they're punctured. So, you know, you might start a fire if you put a lithium ion battery in the regular trash and it gets crushed in a compactor, or if it gets, you know, punctured by another, you know, something else heavy getting put on top of it in the dump truck, or even in your own dumpster, right? So those, it's more a matter of that's a fire hazard, just putting a lithium ion battery in the trash. So those you probably should, you know, at least take down to the battery box at a, you know, hardware store or something. But, you know, I don't think you need to be a Nazi about it, but a little bit of just like, hey, you know, those are actually kind of dangerous. But yeah, you could just unclip it, put the new battery in, and you're good to go. These modern laptops, you practically destroy them just getting them open. If they don't have, I mean, a lot of the Windows machines have screws on them. The MacBooks are all glued together. Yeah. You have to, like, take a heat gun to them and hope for the best to even get them open.
This is one of those laws I think should have a sunset clause.
Well, that's my problem with it, is because it's going to be like seatbelts. We haven't seen seatbelts improve in 30 years because the government defined what a seatbelt was as a safety precaution. And even though racers have come up with much safer harnesses and, you know, but...
Don't get me started.
It's an easy example. It's an easy example that I can point at, that because the government defined thou shalt have on every device, every consumer device, this thing. I mean, at the time, I'm sure it made great sense. And right now, today, yeah, USB-C is great. But what about 5 years from now? What about when we've come up with some better connector? Maybe with like a fiber optic cable in it for your data or something. I don't, you know, some kind of a compound thing. Who knows? But
if I knew, I would have already invented it.
Oh, that's the thing, right? So, biggest impact of the new rules is to be felt by Apple, which continue. I think I've read this. Yeah, as of 2018, around 29% of phone chargers sold in the EU used USB-C, 21% used Lightning, and the other and around half used the older micro USB standard. Phone chargers. Okay, guys, that's the cable. Most chargers just have a regular old USB-A port on them. Okay, not all. Some actually have the wire attached, but most have a USB-A port on them. And then the cables, for the most part, you can go on Amazon and get a $5 cable with the right ends on it. The only thing you will run into is, you know, chargers that don't have the right amperage, which is, you know, like what I was talking about with the car charger at the beginning of this. But, yeah, 21%. Okay. These proportions are likely to have shifted considerably as USB-C has replaced micro USB across all but the least expensive Android phones. Efforts to get smartphone manufacturers to use the same charging standard in the EU date back to 2009, when Apple, Samsung, Huawei, and Nokia signed a voluntary agreement to use a common standard. In the following years, the industry gradually adopted micro USB and more recently USB-C as a common charging port. However, despite reducing the amount of charging standards from over 30 down to just 3, micro USB-C, USB-C and Lightning, regulators have said this voluntary approach has fallen short of its objectives. Apple was a notable outlier in that it never included a micro USB port in its phone directly. Instead, it offered a micro USB to 30-pin adapter. Apple said it disagreed with today's proposals in a statement, quote, "We remain concerned that a strict regulation mandating just one type of connector stifles innovation rather than encouraging it, which will in turn harm consumers and Europe around the world," a spokesperson for the company told Reuters. The company has also previously objected to their proposals because it says it risks creating e-waste by forcing people to throw out their existing Lightning accessories if they're incompatible with the universal standard, which is probably a fair point. I mean, I don't normally much agree with Apple's corporate offices, but I think they might have a point on this one.
Well, you can be right every now and then, man. You know, you got to give them credit when credit's
due. When they're right, you know, you, yeah.
Yeah.
And the retort from the EU is, you've already built it, have built-in obsolescence on your phones. They're going to need to be replacing all of those accessories in about 8 months anyway. So this time when they replace them, they'll be replacing them with things with USB-C adapters.
Well, anyone who's used an Apple charging cable knows that the little connector between the port and the wire frays after about 6 months anyways. But
that's because people pull it out by the cord instead of actually gripping it with their thumb and forefinger and removing it correctly.
If your device supports the little wireless charging pucks, that's what I like to use. Not because I think wireless is better. I know the cable is better as far as charging goes for the battery. It's because the ports wear out. And that's actually my biggest complaint with any of them, is especially on micro USB. I had several devices that the charging port on them got worn out. And, you know, that was an impetus to get a new phone. It wasn't, you know, could I have opened the thing up and put a new port on it? Well, with a, you know, a hotter reworked station, a microscope, and a steady hand, sure. But, you know, I had several of my early Android devices where you couldn't charge the damn things anymore because the ports wore out. So I like using the wireless chargers just because you don't have that physical wear and tear on the port. So, yeah, Apple said stop shipping charging bricks and earbuds in the box with new iPhones. Supplied them only with a lightning to USB-C cable. However, the move was met with mixed response. Some argued it helped Apple's bottom line more than the environment. While European lawmakers focused mainly on wired chargers, wireless is becoming increasingly popular among smartphones and is largely converged on a single cross-platform standard QI. There are even rumors that Apple could ship an iPhone without a lightning port and entirely send wireless charging for power. You know, I don't know. I haven't looked at the Apple thing that they just did, so I don't know if they announced one of those or not. But I don't. You know, would I like to see the industry pick a standard and stick with it for a while? Yes, because it's convenient when everything uses the same damn charger. However, anyone who has a collection of USB-C devices will tell you, not all USB-C chargers are equal. I have several that will not fast charge devices, even though they say they should. And then I have other things that will fast charge. I've got a power strip on my desk. It's got a couple of USB ports on it, just plain old USB-A ports on it. And it'll fast charge one of my Android tablets. I don't know why it's not a fast charger. It's just a, you know, cheapy little built-in thing. And it won't fast charge anything else, but that Android tablet, it will fast charge. So it's like, what the hell? So, but, you know, I've had more problems with cables than anything, especially with USB-C, because some of the cables that come with stuff won't fast charge, and other cables that say they're fast charge, they are, well, there's fast charge, and then there's, like, ultra fast charge. So it's not even clear what cables are the right standard. So just saying everything have USB-C is not going to be a panacea. Just, you know, give it to these companies to find a way to fuck it up, right? But but then, you know, like we were saying, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, are they going to review this? Or are they going to still keep everyone locked in on USB-C from now to the end of time so that you don't, you know, have to buy a new fucking charging cord? Which, I'm pretty sure the chargers and the cords are not the main source of e-waste. Pretty sure it's busted laptops and TVs.
Yep.
Old cell phones are probably a supply of it, too, now that I think on it a little bit. Because that's the one they encourage everyone to get a new one every year. And some people do. So.
Well, I'm trying to lower the average.
I've been using the same one for a couple of years now. I've been averaging about 2 to 3 years out of them, which is not great. I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to think, you know, when was the last couple of times I've rotated devices? And yeah, it's been about 2 to 3 years, but the last couple of times, you know, okay, the last time I didn't need to, but the couple of devices before that is because I busted them that I had to, you know, ended up getting a new one. But I had still used them longer than, you know, longer than the year they try to get everybody on nowadays. So.
Well, I'm doing my part. I don't have a phone.
Yeah. That's probably the best way to do it.
That gives you an excuse to have a new one every year, Morps, because I'm not doing it. You can have my privilege.
Now, if I wanted a new phone every, you know, every set period of time, I wouldn't be buying them through cell phone company and using them as my daily driver. I'd be buying the burner phones, a supply of them, just so that as you finish every conversation, you can crack the phone in half and throw it over your shoulder. Is that going to increase e-waste? Oh, hell yeah, but it'll still look and feel awesome. It's like, why are you doing that? Because it looks cool. No reason. It's like, who were you talking with? My mom. What did she tell you? Just wanted to know next time I was coming back to visit. So why'd you destroy the phone? Just in case.
At least she can't track me.
I saw it in a movie. Thought it looked badass.
So. Anyways, let's move on. This is a quickie, short one. Epic Online Services launches anti-cheat support for Linux, Mac, and the Steam Deck. So this is cool. Epic Online Services exists to connect This is directly from Epic, so it's all marketing speak, right? Exists to connect developers and players across all platforms, including the upcoming Steam Deck. We're excited to take another step in that direction. So here's the real announcement. Earlier this year, Easy Anti-Cheat for Windows games was made available to all developers for free. Today, we're extending that support to Linux and Mac for developers who maintain full native builds of their games for these platforms. To make it easy for developers to ship their games across all PC platforms, support for Wine and Proton compatibility layers on Linux is included. Starting with the latest SDK to release, developers can activate anti-cheat support for Linux via Wine or Proton with just a few clicks in the Epic Online Services developer portal. Easy Anti-Cheat is available for free through Epic Online Services and all platforms, helping all developers, blah, 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 to get started, log into their portal. Great. So, what this means is Epic, which runs Easy Anti-Cheat, is going to support Wine and Proton. This is directly to support the Steam Deck. This is directly so you can run these games on Steam Deck that have Easy Anti-Cheat. And this is the first one I've seen do it. Because Valve was talking about with the Steam Deck, they needed it, you know, the anti-cheats is where they were running into problems with the Wine and Proton. So Epic coming out and saying, yeah, well, you know, here's a Linux version. We'll support Linux through Wine and Proton. Awesome. I want to see all the major anti-cheat platforms doing that. Because,
can I derail for a second?
Yeah,
with
go
a question?
For it.
It's totally off topic. What are the odds on Valve buying Blizzard with all their fucking problems right now?
Why would they buy Blizzard? The name's worthless. Everyone that built games is gone.
The games.
I don't think they would buy the company. I don't think they would buy the company. Or if they they'd just straight up liquidate everything but the IP.
To take the player base, you know what I mean? If you didn't have to say you could buy the game through Steam and just use Steam to sign in. That would give them sales.
Well, they would eventually eliminate the Blizzard launcher and just take those games and put them in Steam.
That would be fantastic. I'd go back to playing Blizzard games.
I don't see them doing it.
If it would launch. It's
not that it wouldn't be awesome if they did. It's just because, like we were talking about before the show, Activision's a dead company. I mean, they're not, but they might as well be at this point.
Titles and put them in the store. You know, that's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what they would do if they were going to buy their game. If they bought it out or bought the Blizzard, you know, if they bought Blizzard from Activision, they wouldn't keep any of the people who worked there. They wouldn't keep any of the management. They would just liquidate it and keep the IP and keep the games.
I'm only looking at my value. My value is I don't want to sign into anywhere else but where I play my games, and having a third party sign in just nopes me out of it straight away. I want them to buy all that content and put it under their banner.
I just don't see them doing it because that's just not been how Valve operates. They expect people to come to them.
Yeah.
But This is directly supporting SteamOS, and it's cool because SteamOS is going to be running basically Arch Linux under the hood. So if Valve, through the Steam Deck, gets a lot of the major anti-cheat platforms, which is the main stumbling block for running games in Wine and Proton, to put support out there for Wine and Proton, that means that running Linux as a full-time desktop for gaming, even if you don't buy a Steam Deck, even if all you're doing is just, you know, not going to Windows 11 and throwing Ubuntu or whatever on a box, is that much more viable. Because that's more stuff that you can run under the Wine and Proton build, even if it is linked into Steam, that will work. Now,
just for all the listeners, if you haven't been around since day one, this has been Morps's private Woody for fucking how long now, Morps?
Oh, I would love to get away from Windows and all my personal machines.
I know, right? This is why you're excited about this.
Yes, I am. I think
this
is great.
It's one step closer.
Now, that said, this is updating the SDK. Everyone who's used Easy Anti-Cheat has to go update their SDK and rebuild and put out a patch for their game to support the latest version.
God damn it.
But it's possible. And you could have somebody develop, replace, and there have been other people playing with this kind of stuff in games where to make it run under Wine, they'll go grab various versions of libraries from other places and put them in the game to get it to work, like different DirectX libs and things like that. So, you know, worst case, if you have a game that's not getting updated, somebody might build a custom version of the anti-cheat to run you with the updated SDK to run it under Wine. You know, and put it out under Wine Tricks or something. But I think that's cool because I want to see more stuff working with Linux as a main desktop OS, especially with Microsoft getting all data collection happy in the OS. I mean, I don't have any illusions that at work I'm going to get away from Windows anytime soon. But, you know, it'd be nice if my personal shit didn't have to run it. I'll probably have to keep a personal Windows laptop and keep up with it just because my family's going to be asking me shit. And, you know, people I work with and people I know saying, hey, you're a computer person, help me with this. And it's like, I don't know, I don't run that. But anyways, yes, I want to see more shit supported under Linux. I think that would be awesome.
I think it's cool just to have choices in OSs, and if you're primarily in gaming, Linux isn't a good choice right now.
Well, it's a lot better
than it used to be.
It's a lot better than it used to be, but it still has issues. The other major issue with running Linux as a gaming OS is that most gamers have been going to NVIDIA graphics cards for the past 5 to 6 years. And well, the Linux driver support for NVIDIA is wanting. Most Linux distros are trying to move to Wayland as a display manager, and NVIDIA's support for Wayland is not clean. But if you have one of the modern AMD cards, they have open source drivers that run great. So if you're building Linux boxes to game on, you kind of have to get an AMD card. But that hasn't been the trend. And of course, AMD cards are hard to get because the crypto guys like to grab those up. So, and of course, right now, getting any graphics card is a miracle. Mm-hmm. So,
good luck.
Next article is from Torrent Freak. Movie company demands over $10 million in piracy damages from Liquid VPN. So this is kind of a new one. And this might not be new, but this is me noticing it, that they're actually going after VPN providers for piracy now because the ISPs are... I mean, it's like these guys have played the game with everybody and run most other, you know, people off from working with them. So now they're after the VPN guys.
But the VPNs don't host anything.
Right. A waste of time.
Makers of popular films, including Hunter Killer, Automa, Autonoma, Okay. And I Feel Pretty are demanding over $10 million in piracy damages from VPN provider LiquidVPN. The movie companies asked the court to issue a default judgment since the VPN provider failed to show up in court. Meanwhile, LiquidVPN's website seems to have disappeared. It's like, you know, it's like probably like one or two guys, you know, running all this stuff off cloud infrastructure and just panicked and just like, well, that's it. Game over. And just shut it all down. A few years ago, piracy-related lawsuits were pretty straightforward. Copyright holders would either sue alleged file sharers or the operators of pirate sites. In recent months, we've seen a new breed of lawsuits filed on behalf of the makers of movies. You know, I already read those. These lawsuits target VPN providers, which are generally seen as third-party intermediaries. This included LiquidVPN. The company was taken to court in March, shortly after the former owner was sued in a separate lawsuit. The current owner, Puerto Rico company 1701 Management, is allegedly linked to U.S. resident Mizuniski, who continued operating the service. While running a VPN is not copyright infringement, the movie companies accuse the service of encouraging and facilitating piracy. So in other words, they found an ad or a forum post somewhere where somebody recommended them for running torrents. And so now they're saying you've encouraged it. The complaint mentions a variety of other examples where the defendants directly or indirectly reference copyright infringement activity. This includes a screenshot of Popcorn Time, which shows the Millennium film Survivor. The movie companies argue that through various public statements, LiquidVPN, quote, encouraged users to use its service to pirate movies. Quote, the LiquidVPN defendants described their VPN service as a tool to watch Popcorn Time without being detected by your ISP and P2P tracking software, unquote. And promote it as a tool that can be used to pirate copyrighted content without risk of getting caught by your ISP or anybody else they wrote. Despite the serious allegations, 1701 Management and its alleged owner failed to respond in court. As such, the court film companies are now requesting a default judgment in their favor. If these guys are in Puerto Rico, do you think they even got served? Do you think they even knew they were being sued? Well, if they shut down the website, they might have.
It also doesn't really matter what they get here. They'd have to sue them in a jurisdiction that has power over them.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that they found somebody linked to it in Florida, so... The movie companies claim that Mr. Mizunitsky, a Florida resident, is the driving force behind the shell company 1701 Management, which bought LiquidVPN from its former operator 2 years ago. According to the legal paperwork, there are still claims on the outstanding payments for the deal, which the movie companies have taken over from the former owner. Huh? There are still claims on outstanding payments for this deal. So when 1701 bought it from the former owner, and the movie companies are trying to claim the outstanding payment as well, I don't understand.
Yeah,
that.
I'm not following
the new
either.
Guy owes money to the old company for buying the VPN. The movie theaters are trying to get those payments in lieu of going after the old company.
So they bought the debt from the old company. Okay.
Yeah, so it's like if I buy a house from you, but I haven't given you all the money, I still owe a payment. The movie companies are saying, instead of giving that payment to this dude, give it to us.
Main allegations...
It's badly written.
Yeah, main allegations relate to copyright infringement. However, according to the plaintiffs, it's clear LiquidVPN crossed a line and should be held liable for direct and contributory copyright infringement, among other things. The motion for default judgment argues that LiquidVPN isn't entitled to a safe harbor defense because it failed to implement a repeat infringer policy. I don't think that's a requirement under the DMCA. In addition, the company... Oh, actually, no, it is. It is. You do have to have a repeat infringement policy. In addition, the company didn't have a registered DMCA agent. They probably have a mailbox. Quote, the LiquidVPN defendants have no safe harbor from liability because they failed to implement a policy for terminating repeat offenders and have not even registered a DMCA agent with the Copyright Office, the movie companies write. The repeat infringement anger, or alcohol, it's tasty. proof that God loves us. The repeat infringer angle is noteworthy because many other VPN services don't take action against repeat infringers either. VPNs don't generally log IP address allocations, which makes it pretty much impossible to track repeat offenders. The movie companies argue that this isn't a valid excuse, as LiquidVPN willingly chooses not to keep logs.
That's what they're selling.
That's a hell of an argument.
prove that he's a repeat offender. We don't have logs.
Yeah, and they're just saying, well, you don't have a policy for it, so you're guilty. Yeah. This sounds like a lawyer who has found a VPN provider that did a shit job of their legal agreement.
Yeah.
Quote, the LiquidVPN defendants cannot use their policy of not logging their subscribers' access to provide anonymous IP addresses as an excuse for not terminating repeat infringers. The defendant who disables... or a defendant who disables itself from doing anything to prevent infringement does not reasonably implement a repeat infringer policy. They're not disabling themselves. That's a key feature. And even if it was somebody who disabled themselves, you're not going to drag some blind guy to court just because he poured bleach in his eyes and say, who killed the person across the street? You should have been able to see it. And the fact that you blinded yourself doesn't, you know... What the hell? These and other claims are novel issues, and there's little VPN-related jurisprudence. However, without a defense in court from LiquidVPN, the arguments aren't actively contested. All in all, the movie companies demand a compensation on various grounds. This includes a maximum statutory damages of $150,000 each for each of the 66 works included in the complaint. This amounts to $9,900,000. In addition, the movie companies request $1,650,000 for DMCA violations. The case comes from a trademark, or comes with a trademark twist as well. The Hawaiian company 42 Ventures, which is operated by anti-piracy lawyer Carrie Culpepper, owns the quote Popcorn Time trademark and requests $100,000 for unauthorized use by LiquidVPN. Oh, that's right. This is got this. So what this lawyer did was he went out and trademarked the name of Popcorn Time after the program got popular, because it was just this open source project, right? So, you know, it's not like there's anything legal behind it. It was just they were using the name Popcorn Time. So this lawyer went out and trademarked the name to try to get him to quit using it, try to shut the program down.
Okay.
I forgot about that. I mean, it, we didn't talk about it on decking just because it was scummy, you know, bullshit. But, I mean, it's just like, wow. according to damages, the movie companies also requested an injunction that requires LiquidVPN to terminate the accounts of repeat infringers. In addition, the service should also block access to pirate sites. Let's see here. Yeah, so definitely, whatever you do, don't go to yts.mx, piratebay.org. RARBG.TO 1337X.TW and popcorn-time.TW. Never go there. Nobody should. I mean, remember those websites because you never want to go there.
The great PSA, Morps. Great PSA.
I'm sorry. They listed the fucking things out. What am I supposed to say? Interesting. I mean, you know, it's like, where were those photos posted so I could never go there? Interestingly, the mentioned Pirate Bay domain doesn't point to the official site, but a proxy. That said, it's unsure whether any blocking action is actually needed at this point. At time of writing, LiquidVPN website appears to have disappeared, and it's currently returning a Cloudflare connection error. The client area of the website is still online. So, yeah, I mean, it was a fly-by-night operation. The moment they showed up in a lawsuit, they've all just dropped off the map. You know, they think they've got the name of somebody who might be involved with it in Florida, but you know, that guy can just show up and be confused.
87-year-old woman in a condominium doesn't even know how to use a fucking touch tone phone because they've ripped their mail off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the way I roll.
But, yeah, so, I mean, okay, you know, nothing's ever going to come of it other than some, you know, a judgment against a defunct company name in Puerto Rico. Good luck. But, yeah, I don't like
just
the rules.
Another scummy lawyer looking for a payout.
Well, I mean, it sounds like there's several of them in there, so. But I think you're right. I think that's exactly what it is. Is some scummy lawyers have found a service they can go after that didn't have great legal statements on their website, and you know, oh, you don't have a repeat infringement policy and an agent registered with the DMCA office. Well, I don't have an agent registered with the DMCA office either. So, are you going to come after Galaxy 15 for that? We're not an ISP, but fuck, I don't want to give them ideas.
I was going to say, don't give them ideas, dude.
Well, that's just it. I mean, are you going to go after anybody with a YouTube channel for operating a pirate team? Actually, they are suing like a handful of YouTubers for posting stuff. So, yeah, there was a three guys. I think it was like old TV shows or something they were putting up. And so instead of suing them for copyright infringement, they're saying, oh, they were operating a pirate video service over YouTube. It's like they weren't operating a service. They were just posting old copyrighted shit. It was like old shit, too. It's like,
oh, have I ever told you the idea that I have of if you aren't using the property for 2 years, you should lose copyright on it?
I like it.
Yeah, we've had that discussion.
There's a TV series I've been wanting to watch forever. It's called Wolf. It was a miniseries. It was on Fox when I was growing up, and it's about a werewolf. I remember it as being awesome. You cannot buy this if you want to. It's just not on DVD. It's not on any streaming service.
On Netflix,
you can find some episodes. No.
That's a different 2018 TV series.
Yeah. You can find some of the episodes sporadically on possibly YouTube. Don't look this up because I don't want them taken down. But it's just really bad transfer from a VHS someone recorded. So if I want something and you're not willing to sell it to me, why is it wrong for me to find it somewhere else?
I don't have an answer for that. I think you're right. If you're not doing anything with the property after a set period of time, 2 years might be a little short, but five is not.
Okay, 5 years. This was released in the 90s or late 80s.
Sure. I mean, you know, that's. I mean, I see the argument on a couple of years, but yeah, if you're not doing anything with a property after a set period of time, especially today with all the streaming shit and everybody having their own, I mean, most people are going back to piracy, not because they can't get it, but because, you know, they don't want to sign up for a fifth streaming platform just to watch one show. So
now this wouldn't solve that because they're actively still using that property, but
oh yeah, if it's abandoned,
no one wants to print.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me, RU, I found that book, so next time you're stateside, we'll take care of that.
Awesome.
Like, Dr. Seuss's publisher is saying they're not going to print, like, three of his books? Okay, then you've just given up the copyrights for those. Anyone can print them.
Well, not his... Okay, yeah, okay. I was going to say, if whoever owns the original copyright says, I no longer wish to sell this property. Yeah, you're right. At that point, it ought to go back to public domain. I mean, okay, maybe give it a set period of time because, you know, you give business concerns and leeways and things like that. But, you know, the whole life of the author plus however long it's been since Walt Disney died so they can keep using Mickey Mouse is getting kind of stupid. So... I mean, I'm actually okay with copyright extending the life of the author no matter what. That makes sense. Beyond that, it's stupid. You know? And if you can't identify the fucking author, then it also, you know, that should matter too. Because there's a whole bunch of stuff that's in limbo that was made in the 60s and 70s that they think might have been public domain, but they're not certain because they haven't figured out who owned it and exactly when it was made. So.
Oh, yeah. House of the Rising Sun. No one knows who wrote that song. The Mamas and the Papas did one of the better renditions of it.
So. Anyways, next article is from Engadget. ByteDance has just announced that Douyin, the version of TikTok for China, will introduce new limits for minors under 14. These minors will now be limited to just 40 minutes of use per day and can't access the app at all between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. ByteDance is also urging parents to add in more comprehensive user data to avoid kids lying about their age to get around the ban.
People don't lie on the internet.
Just people would do that? Just go on the internet and tell lies?
I know. Who would do that?
Have you seen how locked down ByteDance already is compared to TikTok? It is already child friendly.
Dude, I don't follow any of those.
A lot of the horrible mind rot you get in the States on TikTok isn't permissible on the Chinese version.
Let's see. At the same time, the company unveiled a new TikTok-esque app called Zai Cuisine, Little Fun Star, which offers short educational videos. Yes, this is the proper way to wear your uniform. this is how to properly salute dear leader. this is another fairly dramatic move as part of China's broader crackdown on digital media and video games. Officials have recently described gaming as a spiritual opium. Yeah, I don't know about spiritual opium. Maybe spiritual pot, I think, but not opium. I mean, or alcohol?
I don't know, man.
Might be a better comparison.
In the right hands, the addiction can be, but that's on anybody's susceptible to that, so.
Yeah, and limited kids playtime to just 3 hours a week. Chinese leaders are reportedly concerned that children becoming addicted to video games, having detrimental effect on their development. Science behind video game addiction is controversial and disputed, with research into the condition ongoing. Either way, changes to Douyin aren't likely to be that wide-ranging in isolation, since less than 0.5% of users are under 14. Overall trends worth keeping an eye on, blah, blah, blah. So,
look, most, I think, are just unplugging the cable so they get around their 3 hours a week.
Just don't have it hooked up
to the internet.
Yeah, just invest in a nice retro console. There you go.
Well, dude, you can even use your own PC. Just take the fucking cable out. You don't have to be online.
How many games still work?
Enough.
Enough to where if you really wanted to play video games, you could.
Well, speaking of video games, RU sent me this story.
It was a joke story. We're not meant to take it seriously. It was to point and laugh at.
Well, I'm glad you clarified. Because I'm totally blaming you for this. Extremists using video game chats to spread hate. Where's the...
They built a Minecraft prison camp. Fuck yes.
A user-built Nazi concentration camp in Minecraft. Just for fuck's sake. This is the dumbest shit I've read. Okay.
It is.
For the record, we are making fun of this author, Carl Miller and Shiroma Silva. You people should be ashamed of yourself for writing this bullshit. You should look at your life. You should compare it to... I was about to do a Bender quote from Futurama, but somebody's going to get really upset if I said compare your life to mine and kill yourself. So what you should do...
In Minecraft, of course.
In Minecraft, is find a very tall cliff and take a long walk. No.
Oh, I want to build a skeleton spawner, drop kill floor in a gas chamber in Auschwitz now in Minecraft.
Batman, I hate to tell you, but you're a dollar short and a day late.
Oh, there's a fantastic Reddit post where somebody recreated the Trail of Tears using villagers in Minecraft and documented it on Reddit.
Were they allowed to keep their slaves?
There's a whole... you can find a lot of those. They used to be on YouTube, but now I think they're on Pornhub.
That just
doesn't sound right when I say it.
So I'm going to say this. The people who wrote this article do not realize how many 14-year-old kids in Minecraft or other online games are trying to be edgelords. They're trying to say the most controversial shit they can think of. So this is what they go to. you know, it's you've obviously never been on Xbox Live for any period of time and listened to 12-year-olds tell you what they're going to do to your mother. If you think this any of this is real. Extreme.
Just remember to tip her. Mother works hard.
Extremists are using mainstream video games and chat game platforms to spread hate, BBC Click has found. Over 3 months, researchers from Anti-Semitism, Racism, and Homophobia on Platforms, including DLive and Odyssey, researchers found Anti-Semitism, Racism, and Homophobia on Platforms, including DLive and Odyssey, where users stream and chat about games such as Call of Duty and Minecraft. Okay, if you're going to DLive and Odyssey and looking for off-topics...
In my defense, the only reason I call Hanzo a faggot is because he sucks dick. If he didn't do that, I would not call him a faggot.
Gladys is dead to me now. I can have any blow-up doll I want.
I've been waiting for an excuse to play that, and that was close enough.
Trash talk is not hate speech.
Or, you know, some what you found is some random small channel that just hasn't gotten kicked out yet. Because it's like, how many followers did it have? Two? It's like, look, here's my essay on why, Holocaust denial. I mean, or the people who do that, you know, they have an argument for it. You know what? Report that video. See how long it stays up. How many subscribers do they have? Five? Okay, congratulations. You found the weird kid sitting in the corner. campaigners say including extremist narratives among everyday conversations can be a pathway to radicalization.
Well, of course.
Okay. I need to stop doing this and actually read, because we'll never get through the article if we just sit here and do this. These conversations then move to spaces such as private Telegram channels. Once you're in that world, then the radicalization starts to happen, Joan Mulhall of the anti-fascist organization Hope Not Hate said. Okay, who names this shit? Anyways, quote, that's when you start going to other meetings, to smaller groups that aren't necessarily playing games, talking about politics more explicitly. Unquote. In response, Telegram told BBC News it uses a combination of proactive monitoring of public spaces and user reports to remove content breaching its terms of service. DLive and Odyssey have not responded to BBS News' request for comments. Okay, that could mean that DLive and Odyssey didn't see it. It could mean they're understaffed. It could mean they didn't think it was real. Or it could mean that you requested comments 5 minutes before you hit the publish button and didn't hear back. Just saying. That doesn't mean very much, is all I'm saying. Their policies cite zero tolerance against hate and violent extremism. Both say they are proactive at removing any content violating guidelines. They've got these weird quotes saying, you know, like one of them saying, oh, extremist views are slipped into chats on DLive and Odyssey. And it's, you know,
it's just a hit piece on DLive and Odyssey.
It is.
It's the whole article.
It is. But the worst part is these quotes they have are not screenshots from the platforms. They're something they put together in Photoshop. So it's like, you know, for all I know.
Because they couldn't find anything.
Yeah, so it's for all I know, they're making
it
up.
In their head. Exactly. But as you said, if they did come across it, there's a couple of fucking edgelords talking shit.
Yeah.
You know, there's no fucking Fourth Reich. It's not hiding behind everything right now. It's fucking ridiculous.
These are the same assholes who, if you invite them to a D&D game, will roll up the rogue who dresses in all black and sits in the corner plotting to kill everybody and how to steal everyone's stuff. It's like, yeah, we get it. You're an edgelord. You play Reaper in Overwatch. Woo. You know, we get it. Call of Duty said... Call of Duty said... The game franchise, apparently, said, the actions we have taken to confront racist behavior, including banning players for racist and hate-oriented names, implementing new technology, and making it easier for players to report offensive in-game behavior. Okay, that's horribly written. Why don't you put the publisher of Call of Duty or the name of the representative? I guarantee you, the game box on the shelf didn't say that to you.
Oh, and if it did, share what you're on.
Yeah.
But the researchers also found extremist, quote, role-play, unquote, scenarios within games on various platforms that let players create and share their own custom maps and environments. This included Nazi concentration camps and Uyghur detainment camps in games such as Roblox and Minecraft. Do you ever think that... Okay, in all seriousness, you remember back in the day in Second Life, people would recreate historical monuments in Second Life?
It was encouraged.
And
dude, that was encouraged, remember.
How many people go visit actual preserved concentration camps to learn about history?
Dude, I want to see Pol Pot's killing grounds.
I wouldn't put it past people to recreate these things in Minecraft because the world's in fucking lockdown and they can't go see the real thing and they're curious. Or because, here, look, here's lots of pictures. This should be something cool to recreate. Or they're a 14-year-old edgelord wanting to recreate the Trail of Tears in Minecraft with villagers. But, I mean, you think how many... I mean, schools use role-play scenarios where they have put, you know, have some kids play the bad guys. I mean, these people are just clutching their pearls so tightly at this. It's like, what do you want? Just, you know, everything you disagree with shut down? Yeah, that's exactly what they want, actually.
Yep.
And besides that, role-playing scenarios, anybody who's actually played tabletop games who weren't just doing the murder hobo group in D&D, you know, if you had a game of any tabletop role-playing game that wasn't just about rolling dice, you can sometimes explore some uncomfortable topics and see what happens, and it can get interesting. That's how you get drama. Do you complain when bad things happen in movies to give the characters motivation?
I mean, but I'm more ideas about intentionally triggering my limit break.
You did that. You did that.
No. I didn't intentionally trigger it. The other player used out-of-game knowledge to continuously trigger my limit break.
That's not the worst example of bad things happening in our games.
Oh, no, it's not. A lot of it I did do intentionally, and it was fun.
But also, you know, so, okay, I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to ask the obvious question. Would you rather the troubled kid sit down online and go into Minecraft and murder a bunch of villagers, or would you rather them actually take the AR-15 to their local school?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a big jump, dude. How about him just killing the neighborhood animals first?
Well,
let's not okay. Straight to the fucking, you know?
Well, seriously, though. Okay, would you rather them torturing virtual creatures in Roblox or the neighborhood pets? I'd rather see them beating up the computer characters who aren't real.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that, too.
I'm going to have to go with... Playing video games isn't part of the dark triad. Stop equating them.
It's not. That's my point.
To blow up sheep, you're not going to torture a cat.
But that's my point. And even if somebody is got those impulses, if they get them out in a video game versus acting them out in real life, isn't that better?
If someone's got those impulses, they can't act them out in a video game.
Okay.
There's not something that realistic. I've seeing animals in pain, it is very different than shooting a sheep in Minecraft.
Well, did you dye the sheep funny colors first?
No, but that is one of my favorite scenes of griefing, is little kids figuring out how to grief each other. It's like, we're going to dye all of the sheep pink. I'm like, that's not griefing. That's not even kiddie pool griefing.
Did you see the experiment done with the kids that they... put like 30 kids into a limited space in Minecraft and just let them go at it?
Oh, was that the world that they blocked off a certain size and by the end of it, the group that had made a sky island was the only one with any resources?
Exactly.
I thought that was a cool write-up. I mean, that's a hell of a research project.
It was a great, great project. This proves that, you know, the resource management, it only leads to war. If not done correctly.
I mean...
Because that's what it was. It was just the ones who couldn't get anything were trying to fight the ones who had everything.
And honestly, if you think about it, in any of these games, you know, if you don't want to you can make your character look like whatever you want. So most people tend not to give a fuck what your character looks like because they know it's just a slider bar that you've picked.
The Great Race War of Rust.
Oh, that was amazing because it wasn't planned.
You know, they think they're doing something altruistic, and of course, gamers are going to do what gamers do, man. Turn it into a fucking game.
Oh, that was amazingly horrible.
All right, let's see what next in this terrible article. One Roblox driving game invited players to become a racist and simulate the murder of people belonging to ethnic minorities by running them over in a car. Because that's what ethnic minorities do, is just hang out in the road so you can run them over with a car. What the fuck, man? And again, this is some 14-year-old edgelords bullshit.
You've got to throw a random white guy in the group, and if you hit him, you get like negative 80,000 points. That's the only way to make this challenging.
I want to go find the Doom mod that I forget the group, but somebody put out during the Christopher Dorner thing. Does anybody remember that? The Christopher Dorner is the guy in the cabin. The cops, you know, stormed the place.
Yeah, can't corner the Dorner. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, somebody made a Doom mod where you were playing him and all the cops were racing in all the time. And it was just, I mean, it was horrible. But it was somebody trying to be as offensive as possible. And it was hilarious. It's like, I want to send the people who wrote this article that and be like, here, have fun, you know, and be sure to go back and read up on the context of it so you get all the jokes. Because I honestly think that's what's happened here is you've got these groups who are pearl clutching and can't believe things they don't like are on the internet.
Yep.
Well, I can't go to sleep because someone on the internet is wrong and I have to correct them.
The existential fear of being wrong on the internet.
Oh, no. Of someone else being wrong. I'm never wrong. I've got the rule book somewhere to prove this.
Back to the article. Quote, these are small and not played by a huge amount of people, but what they do is allow extremists to create role-playing experiences to live out radicalized fantasies online. Jacob Davey from the Institute of Strategic Dialogue said, Roblox said, we work relentlessly to ensure our platform remains safe in civil space, and with a combination of machine learning and a team of over 2,000 moderators, we monitor for safety 24/7 to detect and swiftly act on any inappropriate content or behavior. So if this stuff is on Roblox server, do you think they didn't take it down the moment somebody reported it to them? That's the question, is if you went on to Roblox's thing and saw all these maps and then went and interviewed Roblox and Roblox said, yeah, so what? We don't care. We're not taking it down. You might have an argument. You might have a story. Find me one service today that won't take down, you know, obvious content like this. As much as we might like the idea of a completely open free platform that doesn't censor at all. But even then, they have to remove the illegal shit. So, you know, they'll have a EULA saying we can take down blatantly this and blatantly that because they don't want to get sued either. So, yeah, Minecraft said, I hate this. Don't you mean Mojang or Microsoft? But Minecraft said, terrorist or violent extremist content is strictly forbidden by our community standards, and we take action to remove it, such content if it appears on our systems.
How are they going to fucking police other people's servers?
They're not.
That's what I mean. This story is obviously a work of... They've made it up.
Yeah, it's
Minecraft said.
Roblox
what kind of fucking
said.
Journalist quotes? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Like you call the company and go, hey, I'm writing a story. Can I get
it? You would say
a
spokesperson
quote?
For Mojang.
Spokesperson from, yeah.
And whoever publishes Roblox. I mean, okay.
Leave it there.
Yeah, because they're trying to say, they've got in here, you know, some Photoshop quote about build the Third Reich. And I was like, no. Anybody who says that's a fucking edgelord, and it would be
and
the Fourth
the
Reich
third.
At this
it's
point.
It's the Fourth Reich, you fucking retard. See, this is what I mean. These people have no clue. And the fact that we had to correct them, you're a Nazi, you knew that.
No, we've just been online more than 5 minutes. Just been paying attention.
All right, let's do Dojo.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Oh, what was I going to click? I was going to click another one.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
There we go. Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. Both of which are useful if you're building up a retro gaming PC from the 90s or early 2000s. So the first is a link from archive.org of a project called Nano 98. And this is to make an installation of Windows 98 as lightweight as possible, with the goal of getting it down, getting the amount of disk space it actually uses up down to a minimum. This guy says he got his installation of Windows down to approximately 5 meg. I mean, it was kind of an extreme example of like what's the best you could do, and he's got instructions here of how to do it. He's tested it with Windows 98 SE, but he had a bootable operating system of Windows 98 in 5 meg. So if you're trying to build an extremely slim, streamlined, you know, installation of Windows 98, I'm thinking for things like retro games on like virtual machines, or like if you're digging out old Pentium 2s to build or like even 486s for building a retro gaming machine, play old DOS games, play old Windows games, or if you're trying to run something in DOS boxes might be useful. Or finally, where I intend to use it is on the Mister, emulating a 486 in hardware. So do I actually need to get an installation of Windows down to 5 meg? Probably not. I don't know that I'll even bother with Windows 98 or 95. Probably do it with Windows 3.1 and stop. But it's an interesting project and kind of cool that you can take Windows hacking to that extreme. So, but he's got a file list of everything you can remove out of here. And his goal was just to get it down to as far as he possibly could. And he used a UPX compressor to get all the DLLs and EXEs compressed, and he got it down to 5 meg. So
impressive.
That's pretty cool. It's also from, you know, 2000. When is this thing from? 2008. So that's why it's the archive.org link. When I checked it earlier, most of the links for getting the actual file list and the zips you need to do it are live. So yeah. And then the other thing I have for Dojo tonight is an interesting collection. Now, I'll be honest, I'm pretty sure this is not legal. I'm pretty sure this falls under the piracy sites. But I also think it might fall under abandonware. So this website is called RetroExo.com, and they have a couple of different very large collections of DOS, Windows 3.1, and Scum VM games in torrents. Like, and so I'm pretty sure it's all abandonware. At least it probably should be. But the EXO DOS package is 562 gig. The EXO Win31 package is 345 gig. The Scum VM package is 133 gig. So if you're trying to populate a retro station, this is probably a pretty good collection to start with.
And this was for computers where measuring in megabytes was large.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't keep all this stuff installed at once. But, you know, if you go in and look at what he's got a full release. And like I'm looking at ExoDOS, he's got a full release and a light release. The pack includes 7,200 DOS games, focuses on games that were either released in English or are fairly easy to play without knowledge of the native language. This is not every DOS game ever made, however, is a very high percentage of all commercial releases. There are also thousands of freeware, homebrew, and shareware games that will continue to be added. The games have been configured to run in DOSBox, and some use Scum VM, and that's already configured in there. He's got a manual for the thing. But Yeah. I mean, he's just got all this stuff wrapped up and ready to go. Is it legal? Probably not. But, you know, we're talking about DOS and Windows 3.1 software here, so it's not like they're losing any sales. But, yeah, so if you want to do some retro, digging through retro games, that's certainly a fantastic place to start. And that's all I've got for tonight. Of course, this is the stream we're always working on at Pure Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. In the IRC tonight, Alhazard, Cyberlard, Cykros, myself, and Madman. Speaking of Madman, closing thoughts.
I wonder how feasible it would be to actually build, market, and sell a retro gaming box.
Lots of people are doing it.
The problem is getting licensing for the game.
Oops, you'd have to jump through to actually legit do this. Because I think there'd be a huge market for it.
Well, I mean, you saw Nintendo doing their mini NES and mini SNES. PlayStation did one. Of course, the Atari flashbacks have been going on. Mister is very popular. The way most of them get around it is they just don't include any of the games and kind of expect you to, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, go online and find the ROMs. Or they're coming, you know, straight from China, as cheap and cheerful as possible, and they'll come with all the games anyways and just hope they don't get in trouble. So, Soldier Boy was trying to sell consoles like that. He made a big deal out of it, and Nintendo sued him. So
that was funny.
Then he tried to say he was the CEO of Atari, which,
yeah,
was strange, because it's like, you could check that? So, I don't quite understand what's going on there. I think somebody had a bad trip, is what I think. But,
I mean, the worst part about the whole episode was I had to find out what a Soldier Boy is.
So, anyways, are you closing thoughts?
I don't really have much for this week at all, to be honest. Just play some good games, man. You're gonna try and have a relaxing weekend, because the ride's only gonna get worse.
Yeah, so I gotta get through all the shit in my garage, so that's probably gonna be a good chunk of my weekend. That and
at least
making
found
cables.
That book.
I did find that book, yes. So, yeah, next time you're stateside, I'll get that to you.
It will always get worse.
What'd you say, Mad Ben?
The Scottish Optimist.
Things can
always get worse.
Oh, okay.
The difference between a Scottish pessimist and a Scottish optimist. Scottish pessimist thing says things can't get any worse. Scottish Optimus is, yes, they can.
Now, my favorite right now is a Dilbert comic I saw the other day. Dilbert's talking to the HR cat. It's like, is it my imagination or my coworkers getting dumber every day? The cat responds, they aren't getting dumber. You're just getting to know them better. It looks the same. It's like, oh my God, that's my life. Okay, that's all we got. I'm going to play the sounds now and close out the show.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Gladys is dead to me now. I can have any blow-up doll I want.
Shut up, Wesley.